what we have to say, and why wouldn't you? Check out all of our, you know, the podcasts that are available wherever you get your podcasts. You can download the episode, civicmedia.us. Check it out. Listen to them again and again. Share them, all the things. And again, we are sitting here with Emily Cephalos running for state senate here. Yeah, so like we talked about doom and gloom and all this, like let's talk about cool stuff, because I think I talked about it last week or the week before that we really have seen some momentum.
Yes.
You know, we saw some electoral big news.
Right.
And I do think that was kind of the start of a pretty darn big wave. I think the most historic wave happened during the Trump 1.0. I think during Trump 2.0, this is going to be a massive, massive tidal wave.
You know, I think so as well. I think the winds are shifting.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited to see what happens in 26.
What are things that are your priority? So you go knock on the door, you tell, you know, people say, okay, well, I'm sorry you were lied to, but what is
here's
the rest
what
of
I
that conversation?
Do.
Yes.
I think like for me, what, you know, my kind of tagline this time is I want to lower cost. I want to support kids and I want to make your community safer. And I think those are all things that are achievable. If we are able to flip the Senate, this time, and with the maps being as they are, and again, this wave that we're hopefully going to see in 26, I think that we'll be able to do incredible things. And so like lowering costs means that we are like keeping grocery, like we're keeping our chains as far as like the production and consumption of goods as local as possible. So like Wisconsin first, and like making sure that we're supporting our farmers and the people that are producing these things, making sure that we are supporting our kids, like affordable childcare for families, making sure we're actually investing in our public schools. Like these are all things that we can do. And if we do them right and we do it in a way that is fiscally sound and like studied so that we're not just throwing money at a wall, like we can keep property taxes from continuing to rise if we fund our schools correctly. Like we keep underfunding these things, then we wonder why they're asking us to increase our property taxes.
Well, right. It's interesting. I was talking with my wife about this, that in our community, they went to referendum a couple of years ago, and we're friends with one of the people that are on the board. They're going to have to go do it again.
Yep.
And my God, like, and went on a tangent about like how these voucher schools that are unaccountable and all that are getting all of this money. Well, wouldn't it be great if we would just take the money that should be going to public schools and give them to the public freaking schools?
Right. I mean, that would be great. Like, I think about the fact all this. So I have my three kids. Two of them actually go to a private school system that we love and care about.
Sure.
My youngest son has special needs. He cannot go to a private school. And so like in my mind, when you're paying money like to a private school system, that private school system, which is founded with your dollars, they can afford to hire SLPs. They can afford to hire occupational therapists if they truly want to be inclusive of everyone. And if not, then stop it. Like, because the only ones that are accepting the kids that need that kind of support are our public schools. And so that is where our taxpayer dollars should go. So every single student, no matter where they live, gets exactly what they need for a full, like, you know, educational experience. So they can reach their full potential. And like our rural schools as well, when you don't have many private school systems to draw from, like that's your option. And we continue to starve these things. And then we see 200-ish districts go to referendum electoral cycle. That is a chronic problem. Let's fix it.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
Yeah. So I'm just talking about that kind of stuff. And then also just with our safer communities, like making sure that we're supporting police officers. I talk to a lot of departments that are in more rural areas that talk about the strain that mental health plays on their resources and the time that they spend with their community members, because they're not well trained in how to support someone having a mental health crisis.
Right.
And if we actually rethink how to support and budget for and make sure that they have what they need, it'll free up the officers themselves to do the jobs that they're supposed to do, so that someone else can deal with the mental health issue, like, you know, aspect of
a crisis. Yeah. We try to give them all the tools on their tool belt, but that's one that they really don't.
No,
I mean,
and they shouldn't. Right. And you talk to people like I talked to the police chief in Grand Chute, and we were talking about the fact like they live on that corridor, the 41 corridor going up north. And so there's many people moving through there and stuff like that. But he was just talking about that. He's like, our officers, which, you know, cover this area with a lot of traffic moving through it, then have to deal with mental health crises. Those are long, you know, it's taking them to the right facility. It's making sure they get the right treatment that they need. And then we can't be on the streets. Like we can't be on our beat doing what we're supposed to be doing for our community. And it's really, it's a tough thing, but I think that too often we're making these rules up and doing these budgetary things in Madison without talking to those people. And I'm like, center them, center those voices so you can solve the problems. And so, yeah, get the right people at the table.
I think it starts, yeah, with having a party that understands, well, we actually are, we have consequences.
Right.
You know, with how the maps have been, there has been no consequences electorally for that right. party mm-hmm. for 15 years.
Right. Where you can just kind of stall everything and you're like, well, tough.
Do whatever
they
want.
Yeah. I had the right letter behind my name in this really red district. Well, right. now it's going to be more reflective of what Wisconsinites want and deserve.
I would hope so. Yeah. Well, and, you know, because I think we are a freaking purple district and we've been governed in bright red other than the mm-hmm. statewide offices for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, making things more affordable for people, that is a huge,
so huge, huge deal. And I think that's why we saw those wins in part
A
couple weeks ago. Like, it's because people spoke to that issue and we need to bring it up again and again and again because it ain't getting better, you know?
How do you do that in a rural area?
I mean, for me, I don't have perfect answers, but like acknowledging, like, you are working real hard. Like, I can't imagine what it must be like. And it's people that are like, what used to work for me in the 80s or what worked, you know, like it's not the same. And the saying like, yeah, but part of it is because as your wages or as your salary has stagnated, like the amount of profits that these corporations and the tax breaks that they're getting have gone like through the roof. And why are we accepting crumbs from these folks that don't give a crap about your average Wisconsinite that's working their tail off? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a lot of like making sure that we're putting the blame in the right spot. And it's not, because it didn't fall out of the sky. It's because the people at the top chose to withhold too much wealth and the people at the bottom are still struggling, you know, like in a salary from 30 years ago that doesn't cut it anymore.
It doesn't cut it. And then it also makes it so much more expensive for everybody else, including small businesses, to try to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to get those small businesses to have the access to the capital that they need is really, really difficult too.
Yeah. And I think that's another like good point about like the bureaucracy and the way that we are setting up our small businesses and making sure that we're cutting the red tape where we can so that they can like invest in their community and invest in these dreams that they have and they can like make it work. They can make it happen. And I think we could do more in the state legislature to make sure that we are bolstering those entrepreneurs so that they can bring money back into our local economy.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Right?
Right. Well, you know, it is sad. It's frustrating because, you know, you turn on the news and all you see is people that are really, really struggling
mm-hmm.
from groceries to they can't afford a house to do I have to get another job, a third, fourth job
right.
just to pay for childcare. You know, it's not fair. Like that is not America.
Well, it's not fair. And I think like with the food drive that we did, you know, I went into those pantries and they were gracious enough to give me like tours, like this is what it looks like. Mm. And I asked them, each one of them, I was like, have you seen an increase? And at that point, because the government was still shut down, yes, they've seen an increase. But I said, even if it reopens, do you anticipate that you're going to see more people coming through? And they're like, oh yeah, like definitely 100%. And I talked to a gentleman out in New London this morning who's a disability advocate. And he was saying that his amount of food share that he gets has been cut in half, even with the government reopening. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's going to stay. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, I go to more food pantries. And thankfully I have a car so I can get around to different ones. But like, we need to remember that when we're fighting amongst ourselves at the bottom here, like they are laughing all the way to the bank at the top. And I'm tired of it. So I think we just need to, like, every time we're out there, say, when you are defending corporations and the like wealthiest of the wealthy before you are thinking about your average Wisconsinite, you are not representing your constituents. This is not what this is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. Like the greatest good for the greatest amount of people means that you are fighting for working class folks.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, people, we haven't felt the real impact of the Trump administration yet, because, you know, you look at all of these, for example, all the tariffs that happened. And even if the Supreme Court says, yeah, you can't do that, we've already pissed off all of these countries.
Mm-hmm.
So even taking those tariffs away, they have started, you know, building relationships with other countries to source things that we would normally give to them, like soybeans and beef and all of these things. That's not going to just rubber band bounce back to what it was.
No.
So that means the more local we can get is so much more important, because we have to be more self-reliant because they screwed it up at the top.
Right, right. I think it's about neighbors getting back to, like, again, the community thing that we talked about at the top of the hour, is like saying, let's not worry. No one's coming to save us. And frankly, like, they have proven to us time and time again with this administration that they don't give a crap.
Right.
And so if that's the case and no one's looking up.
They got a sweet ballroom though.
So,
it's so cool.
It is very Marie Antoinette of them. But like, I just feel like we need to get back to being like, you know what? We take care of us. Yeah. We take care of us. Like, until the government can get their crap together, we take care of us. And frankly, like, let's do both things, where we solve the immediate need, the urgent right now, but we're also electing the right people that are going to say, like, unapologetically and boldly, this has never worked. We're going to fix it. We don't have time to wait. Like, let's just go.
I think it's really important, and for everybody that's running in a statewide office, or really any office, I think in November, people on the left, they have to work together.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity that we haven't had since I've been in politics. I've seen it from the other side. And this seems a lot like that in 2010, when there was a huge shift. And from someone running for Congress to state Senate to assembly, that we all have to work together. We all have to work together. Because if you have, if you have people that are doing the whole, these are my votes, these are my, oh my God, that is the worst thing in the world.
I will say that's a good point. Like, and I'm 100% on board for that. I think what's really cool about this moment too, is that with everything going on, like, from the very center independent kind of folks to the farthest of the left, like, we're finding our places to say, if you're rowing in the same direction, get in the boat.
Yeah.
Like, get in the boat. And that's what people are doing right now, where it's like, we can argue about like semantics and like approaches later, but for now, get in the boat, row with us, because we don't have time to be quabbling.
Well, I trust the people on the left's ability to figure it out so much more than I would trust people on the right.
Right.
To figure it out, because people on the left center, their ideas and their beliefs and what they want to do on what is going to help the most people.
Mm-hmm. The greatest good for the greatest amount
right.
of people.
Mm-hmm. So we have just a little bit left. How do people reach out to you? How do people say, hey, I want to volunteer? Because, man, if this is not a targeted district, which why the hell isn't it? Anyway.
I feel like every district should be targeted this year.
Oh my
you
God,
know what I'm
right? Yes. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of you?
So I am on all the social medias, or at least I try to be. So you can find me it's just Emily Sefos for Wisconsin, and it's T-S-E-F-F-O-S, very Greek name. right. But I'm also at emily4wi.com. I have a website.
Nice.
But I'm trying to be everywhere. And if you are in the area and you want to help out at all, like time, talent, and treasure, I will take it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think other than that, reach out to all your local candidates, because they're going to need help too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you want to donate...
Yep, just emily4wi.com. I've got a donate button there, like any good candidate should.
Yes. what an adventure this is going
to
be.
It'll be fun, yeah. I'm excited to build something, you know, I think unique and special out there. So
this is going
to
be, as Joe Biden once said, a big bleeping deal.
A big deal.
Big deal. Emily, thank you so much. I want to keep this going, and we'll have to have you back on to get an update on how it's going.
Sure. Yeah.
In a couple of months. That would be awesome. In the meantime, find her, talk to her, and help her out. Thank you so much. Again, this is Mark Becker on The Rational Revolution. You'll be right back after this with my thoughts. Then I'll get on my knees.